Let's get the Bible open. Time is pressing on, so we need to move on. So Matthew chapter 3. Boys and girls, the Bible reading will appear above the screen up here. But grown-ups, if you need a Bible, please raise a hand. Some of our stewarding team will bring you one. There's one over there, please, if that's possible. Matthew chapter 3. So we've just been going through Matthew's Gospel as a church family on Sunday mornings. And this is where we've got to, Matthew chapter 3 and verses 1 to 12. Are you ready to listen? It's all going to be up here. If you can read, it's all up above me here. Okay, Matthew chapter 3 and verses 1 to 12. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. "A voice of one calling in the desert, 'Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him.'" John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt round his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." We're going to get the Bibles open again, so if you've shut your Bibles, please open them again to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Boys and girls, if you sit up straight, everything you're going to need to do is up front here, so you guys can listen really well. But let's pray and ask for God's help, shall we? God, our Father in heaven, we've just sung, "The more we learn about you, that exclamation marks abound, because we discover how amazing you are." And we ask that would be true this morning as we look at your word together. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, boys and girls, I am really excited. Okay, do you know why I'm excited? Why? I'm excited because it's only 43 more days till Christmas. Yes! 43 more sleeps. That's all we've got to go. Christmas is coming. Christmas is coming, but here's the question, which some of the grown-ups are going to groan at. Are you ready? Can you say that with me? 1, 2, 3. Are you ready? Christmas is coming. We've only got 43 days to get ready. What kind of things do we need to do to get ready for Christmas? Nathan, what do we need to do? Tree. Get the Christmas tree. Bernie? Christmas decorations. Levi? You were going to say Christmas decorations too. What else? What's that? Candy canes. We can have them. That sounds great. Yes. Buy presents. What particular presents? Just because, you know, your mum's listening. So, what other things would we need to do? Yeah, Toby. Christmas lights. Anyone at the top there? What do we need to do to get ready for Christmas? Write a card. Yep. We've missed an important one in my world. Buy some food. Food for Christmas. Okay, listen. There's all sorts of things that we have to do to get ready for Christmas. Buy presents, get the house ready if we've got people coming to stay. Are you ready? Christmas is coming. Now, I suspect that this question gets asked to you a lot of times. Is that right? Do you get asked that question? Are you ready? Does that happen? Are you ready for school? Yeah. What do you have to do to get ready for school? Shoes on, bags packed, coat on. Are you ready for bed? Do you get asked that question? Yeah, lots of the parents are nodding here. Yeah, I'm ready for bed right now. Yeah. Are you ready? There's lots of times we have to get ready for things that are coming. Now, I want to tell you this morning that the Bible tells us that there is another day that we need to get ready for. The Bible tells us that Jesus is coming. Can you tell that with me? One, two, three. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming again, not this time as a baby, but as a judge. He's not coming as a little kid. He's coming as a king. Jesus is coming again. He's on his way. And the Bible tells us that it's a very important and a very serious day when Jesus will judge the living and the dead. I don't know if you know what a judge is, but this is a picture of one in our kind of world today, the sort of place you might meet a judge. A judge is someone who decides what's right and wrong. A judge is someone who decides if someone's been bad or actually they've been okay. A judge is someone who decides if someone's going to be punished for doing something wrong. A judge is a very powerful person. And Jesus, when he comes again this day that Jesus is coming, the Bible tells us he's going to come as a judge. He's going to come as someone who decides what's right and wrong and who decides if people will be punished for the things they've done. So Jesus is coming. Can you say that with me? One, two, three. Jesus is coming. But the big question is, are you ready? Are you ready for Jesus to come again? See, here's the thing we're going to think about this morning. I know how to get ready for Christmas. I know I need to go and buy some presents. I know I need to buy some food. I know I need to tidy the house for when my mum comes. I know how to get ready for school, get my shoes on, get my bag packed. I know how to get ready for bed, get my PJs on and brush my teeth and read my Bible. I know how to get ready for bed. But how do we get ready for Jesus coming again? And today, that's where this story from the Bible helps us. Because today we meet in the Bible a man. Who remembers the name of the man we read about? Do you remember, Nate? It begins with J. John. Yeah. John the Baptist. Today we meet a man named John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was a man sent from God. He was a prophet-type figure, sent with a message from God, and he was telling people how to get ready for Jesus's coming. Not his second coming, not this coming we're talking about here when he's coming as a judge, but the time that he first appeared on earth and he first did his ministry. Jesus, the royal Son of God, was coming, and John was telling people how to get ready. And as we listen in to what John the Baptist was telling people today and what was happening in that story, we're going to learn how we should get ready for Jesus coming again. So what did he say? Well, I'm going to put some words up on the screen. Let me show you what John the Baptist said. This is what he said. Jesus was coming. He was about to appear, and everyone was going to listen to what he had to say. And John was saying this: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. How are we going to get ready for Jesus? Well, it's one word. Are you ready? Here it is. How do you get ready for Jesus? Can you say it with me? One, two, three. Repent. You got to say it with a bit more energy than that. One, two, three. Repent. Now, what does that mean? That's a big word, isn't it, that we use a lot. Do you know what it means? It means to turn. That's really good. Does anyone else know what else it might mean? Turn back to God. Fantastic. That's just good. We don't need to do the sermon. They understand it already. That's what it means. It means to turn. John didn't come telling people, hey, listen, Jesus is coming. We better decorate the streets, give him a sweep, put out some fairy lights for Jesus as he arrives. He didn't say, hey, listen, you've got to really kind of keep all these special rules so that when Jesus comes, you'll be okay. No, he said one thing. He said this word, one, two, three, repent. Now, I want us to understand something this morning, okay? You're going to need to do this with me. One word. Can you say it? One word. One word, but it's two actions. Okay, can you do that with me? It's one word, but it's two actions. we need to understand that to turn, to repent, first of all, means to turn from sin. Can you say that with me? One, two, three. Turn from sin. Now, we're going to have some actions for that, okay? So we're going to go turn from sin. Can you do that with me? One, two, three. Turn from sin. That's the first half of repentance. I was in a shop at half term, and there was this little boy who had picked up a toy off the shelf, and he was loving it. It wasn't his. He hadn't paid for it. His mum hadn't said he could have it, but he was playing with it, and he was loving it, and it was all very happy until his mum said, "You need to put the toy down. We're leaving the shop." At which point, he exploded. "It's my toy. I'm not putting it down." And he gripped it really tight and he squeezed it, and his mum couldn't get it out of his hands. And she said, "You need to put that toy down because we're going." And he was hugging it and he was loving it, and he wouldn't let it go. And there was screaming and there was shouting and there was arguing in the shop. And eventually what he did was he put the toy down back on the shelf. He turned away and he walked out the shop. After a lot of time, it wasn't my children, by the way. This isn't like a pseudonym story. This was genuinely true. But can I tell you something, boys and girls and grown-ups, that we can be a little bit like that boy when it comes to sins, when it comes to things that God says we shouldn't do. We want to grip tightly to them, and we don't want to put them down because we love it. Even though we know it's not what we should be doing, we want to hold on tightly. We don't want to stop doing things that God says are wrong. We don't want to let God be in charge, and we hold on and we hold on. But to be ready for Jesus, the Bible says that we need to learn to, can you say it with me? One, two, three. Repent. Which means that we need to learn to turn from sins. We need to learn to turn away, to put down the things that God says are wrong in our lives. That's what people were doing when John the Baptist called them to repent. They came to him and they were turning from their sins. They were turning away, putting down the things that they were doing that God says were wrong. See, grown-ups, if you've got your Bibles, you'll see this in verse 6. We're told there that people came to John and they were confessing their sins. In other words, they were saying, if you're going to be someone who turns from sin, you need to be someone who's learning to say, "Sorry, I'm a sinner." Can we say that together? One, two, three. "Sorry, I'm a sinner." You see, the people were coming to John, and John was saying, "Jesus is coming. You need to be ready." And so people were saying, I need help because I'm a sinner. I need to confess the things that I'm doing that are wrong. And you notice that they were very specific about it. I don't know, boys and girls especially, but grown-ups, I'm sure we do this as well. When you say sorry in your praying for sins, we tend to be quite general, don't we? I'm sorry for my sins today. Amen. But actually, do you notice the way that it's worded in the Bible, grown-ups? It says they were confessing their sins. They were being specific. They were recognizing that there were particular things in their life that were not good. And I think there's an encouragement in there to make sure that we pray specifically sometimes. Lord, I'm sorry that I said to my sister today that really mean thing. Lord, I'm sorry today. Actually, if we name them specifically, it might help us to see and understand that we really do things. We really are holding on to things that God says are wrong. So turning from sin means learning to say that, sorry, I'm a sinner. But it also means learning to say that I need cleaning. Can we say that together? One, two, three. I need cleaning. I want you to imagine for a moment your most favorite teddy bear in the whole world. Okay, this is Charlie. Say hello, Charlie. Now, over time, Charlie starts to get a bit stained and a bit dirty and a bit smelly. Has any of your teddies ever done that? Yes, yeah, they get very mucky. And eventually, over time, they just get covered in stains. And so what do you do with a teddy that's covered in stains? Put them to bed. You could put them to bed. Where else would you put them if they're all mucky? In the wash. Charlie goes into the washing machine, like round and round, and then comes out all clean. But actually, do you know what? The Bible says that a bit like a teddy bear that covers in dirty stains, because of our sins, we are covered in dirty stains. So every time that I tell a lie, I get a dirty stain. Every time I'm selfish, I get covered in a dirty stain of sin. Every time I get angry, I get covered in a dirty stain. Every time I'm grumbling, I get covered in a dirty stain. Every time I decide to talk about others behind their back and get other people not to like them, I get covered in dirty stains. A bit like a teddy bear that over time just gets really dirty because of all the things that you do with your teddy bear. So the Bible tells me that because of sins, I get covered in stains, the stains of sins. And what does that mean? Well, like Charlie, who has to go into the washing machine, it actually means I'm saying, look, I need cleaning. I need these stains to go away. I need to be kind of washed up with all these horrible things going away. That's the only way that I'm going to be ready to meet Jesus the judge. And that was what was happening when John was baptizing people. So who's seen a baptism? Boys and girls, you seen a baptism here? So if you're newer to the church, under me here, under all these panels here, is a big pool which we fill with water. And on occasions, we come in here and we dip people under the water and we pick them back up again. If you've not seen it, it's a very funny thing. But actually, what it is a picture of people saying, can you say this with me, 1, 2, 3? I need cleaning. And that's what John was doing in the desert. As he was encouraging people to repent, to turn from their sins, and saying sorry for their sins, they were also saying, I'm someone who needs cleaning. I'm someone who needs all these stains of sin washed away. That's what it was a picture of. I need all these stains washed away. If I'm going to be ready for Jesus, okay, Jesus is coming. That's what the Bible tells us. And if I'm going to be ready for him, then I need cleaning. Or else I'm going to be in big trouble, aren't I? I can't hide all these from Jesus because I'm covered in the stains of sin. So, how do we get ready for Jesus? Can you say this with me? 1, 2, 3. Repent. And the first part of repentance means that we turn from sins. But that's only half the story, okay? Remember, it's one word, two actions. Grown-ups, I want you to remember this. This is big stuff, okay? Repentance is one word, two actions. The first action is that we turn from sin. But the second action, and this is what we learn from the John story, is that we turn to Jesus. So we're going to go turn from sins, and we're going to go turn to Jesus. Can you do it with me? Turn from sins and turn to Jesus. We put sin down. Like the little boy in the shop, we learn to put the things down that we shouldn't be holding on to. And we learn instead to take hold of Jesus. We learn to trust him instead. John told the people all sorts of big things about Jesus. I'm going to put it up on the screen so that we can see it. You ready to look up? This is what John said as he was saying, Jesus is coming. He goes this, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. That's how powerful he is. And he, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, I'm going to need you to work really hard with me this morning, okay? Because this is going to be big stuff, okay? You ready to have your mind kind of, okay, this is big. But you see, John was saying to people, Jesus is coming. And Jesus is powerful. Can you give me powerful? Jesus is powerful. He's mighty. He can do all things. But Jesus had also come to baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, we know what baptism is, don't we? We know that it's the kind of dipping you underwater and bringing you back up, this kind of sign that you need cleaning up. But Jesus has come to do that with the Holy Spirit and with fire. What's that all about? Well, actually, can I tell you that John wanted people to turn to Jesus, and he wanted people to say to Jesus, please clean me. Can you say that with me? Please clean me. Or we could say, please clean me, couldn't we? Please get rid of all these stains. You see, as we turn to Jesus, the first thing as we listen to John's words that we should be saying is, Jesus, please get rid of all these stains. Now, I had breakfast this morning, and I brought my bowl with me today, okay? And I even washed it up. Is that a clean bowl or a dirty bowl? No, it's clean, isn't it? Look at it. Isn't that clean? I washed it to bring it here. Is it clean or dirty? Yeah, you see? It's clean on the outside, but actually I forgot to clean on the inside. And it's still all dirty and mucky on the inside. It doesn't look like I ate much breakfast, does it, this morning? But it was, that's good. Anyway, now, it's dirty on the inside. But you see, that's the point. This is what we need to understand. We need to understand that our stains of sin are not just on the outside, but that we need cleaning up from the inside out. Our problems inside us, it's not just on the outside. We are like this dirty bowl, and we could spend a lot of time kind of cleaning the outside of the bowl. Look, it looks nice and shiny, doesn't it? Until I tip it like that. And then you're like, that is disgusting. But that's what we're like. We could work really hard at trying to be shiny on the outside, but what we really need is cleaning up on the inside. And that's what Jesus came to do. That's what it means when it says that he's come to baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Jesus has come to properly wash away our sins from the inside out. That's where the Holy Spirit lives in us. That's where he does his work. It is inside us. You see, water can't really wash away your sins. I don't know about you. Who's had a bath recently? Yeah. My guess is that when you got into the bath, you were a sinner. And when you got out of the bath, you were a sinner. You got into the bath and you were angry with your brothers and sisters. And you got out of the bath and you might have still been angry with your brothers and sisters. A bath, water does not wash away our sins. But the one who does wash away our sins is Jesus. You see, our story unpicks this in all sorts of ways. Let me tell you lots of things that will not wash away your sins, that will not make you ready for Jesus. First of all, just water on its own won't do it. It's just a picture. Second thing that will not wash away your sins is the family you belong to. Adults, you can look at this verse 9, you see. He says to them, don't think because you're children of Abraham, don't think just because you belong to this really privileged and blessed family that that's enough for you to be ready for Jesus. Actually, you need cleaning up. It's not enough to just follow the crowds. So crowds and crowds of people were trucking out to the desert to listen to John. And actually, John says to them, it's not enough just to follow the crowds, you brood of vipers. Actually, what needs to happen is that Jesus has to baptize us with the Holy Spirit and fire and clean up the inside of the bowl as well, the yucky insides, to wash away the stains of our sins so that we're ready for Jesus. The Bible tells us that Jesus went to the cross. He went to the cross to pay for all my sins. At the cross, Jesus took the punishment that I deserve for all the stains of my sin. So Jesus was punished for every time that I've lied to somebody. Jesus was punished for every time that I was grumbling against somebody. Every time I was angry. Where are they all gone? Every time that I was selfish, Jesus was punished for it. Every time that I've talked about others, Jesus on the cross was being punished for my sins. But what happened to me? All my stains have been washed away. Because at the cross, and this is the bigger Bible picture, but at the cross, Jesus enabled the Holy Spirit to be sent from heaven and to wash away all the stains of my sin, to clean me up from the inside out. Someone who turns to Jesus and someone who says to Jesus, please make me clean, is washed away of all the stains of their sins. That's the wonderful promise of the Bible. We are cleaned from the inside out. We are properly washed away. Not just pretending to clean the outside of the bowl, but the very deep sins that only God sees, the very factory of our sins, is forgiven. We're all cleaned from the inside out. So to repent, can we do this one? Means we turn to Jesus. We turn to the one and we say to him, can you say this with me? Please make me clean. But there's one more thing we need to think about. You still going? Can you give me some energy? Give yourself a quick shake. Here we go. This is the last big thing. This is the other thing we say. So repenting means that we turn from sins and we turn to Jesus. We say, please make me clean. But here's the last thing. We say to Jesus, please make me fruity. Can you say that with me? Yeah. That will wake you up a bit. Right, 1, 2, 3. Jesus, please make me fruity. 1, 2, 3. Please make me fruity. Now, what on earth do we mean by that? Well, I've got my tree. This was the family tree. But today, I want to try and convince you that this is an apple tree. Do you believe me? Do you believe this is an apple tree? No. Why don't you believe this is an apple tree? Why? It's got no apples on it. But I'm telling you it's an apple tree. Is that not enough? No. Because what are you looking for? You're looking for apples. You would only believe it's an apple tree if over time I left it here and apples started to grow, which really would be a miracle because this is made out of cardboard. But if apples started to grow on this tree, you would then say, ah, the fruit shows me what type of tree it is. Now the same, boys and girls, I want you to understand this, the same is true of someone who has repented. Repentance is seen in the fruit of our lives. And it's Jesus who sends his Holy Spirit who makes us fruity, who grows the fruit of repentance. So let me ask you a question for a moment. Is it enough to say, I'm sorry? Is that enough? Not really, is it? Because that's only half the story. Actually, if you're sorry, you try really hard not to do it again. That's what we talk about at home sometimes. I'm sorry, so I will try not to do it again. But actually, life, as we go through life, our lives, if we've turned to Jesus, as we've been cleaned by Jesus, as we say, please make me fruity, our lives will start to show it. The Holy Spirit will start to help us to keep putting down sins and to start growing the fruit of repentance. So in the life of someone who's turned to Jesus, lies will start to slowly get replaced with telling the truth. Grumbling will start to be replaced with being kind of kind and having happy words and encouraging words. Being selfish will start to be replaced as the Holy Spirit does his work with being generous and sharing to others. See, how do you know? Here's the question. How do you know if somebody has turned from their sins and turned to Jesus? The truth is, the Bible says, that we'll start to see it. See, in the middle of our story, grown-ups, he says to the Pharisees, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And it's Jesus, the one who sends his Holy Spirit, the one who lives in us, who enables us to grow that fruit. The Holy Spirit grows the fruit of love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. And so when someone has repented and they've turned from their sins and they've turned to Jesus and the Holy Spirit is living in them, then you should start to see it in the way that they live. They should be fruity. That's what I mean. That you should start to see that they have the Holy Spirit living inside them. So, are you ready for Jesus? That's the question, isn't it? Are you ready for Jesus? So, Jesus is coming. Can you say that with me? Jesus is coming. Are you ready? How do we get ready? We, which is one word, two actions. The first one is that we turn from sins and we turn to Jesus. Let me finish by saying two things. First of all, this morning, boys and girls, can I ask you, are you personally ready for Jesus? Grown-ups, are you ready for Jesus to come again? Actually, to repent is something that we can do today. To repent, it is the start of a journey where we turn from sins, where we say to Jesus, Jesus, I'm sorry that my life has not been full of the things that you would love me to do. I need cleaning. I'm covered in stains. And I turn to Jesus today. Jesus, the one who can make me clean and the one who gives me his Holy Spirit to live the way that he wants me to live. You can do that this morning. But can I also say to those of us that have already repented that actually I want to tell you that this is the life of a Christian. This is the life of those who are trusting in the Lord Jesus. There is not a day that goes past where I do not need to repent again, where I do not need to in some way turn from a sin that I'm holding on to and say, Jesus, I'm sorry. And then I keep turning to Jesus and I say to Jesus, Jesus, just remind me again that what you did on the cross really paid for my sins. Jesus, please make me fruity. Please make my life what you want it to be. To get ready for Jesus, we need to repent. But we go on repenting as we keep turning to Jesus for the help that we need. Guys, you've listened really well. Let's pray together, and then we're going to sing a song. God, our Father in heaven, we want to thank you this morning for Jesus. We thank you that he came into this world to baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire, to purify us, to clean us from the inside out, genuinely washing away those stains of our sins. And Father, as we sang at the beginning, thank you that as we trust him, there is now no condemnation for those who are in him. And Father, we would love to ask, please, that you would make us a fruity church, that the fruit of repentance would grow on the tree of our lives, that we would see the Holy Spirit's work in us. Father, help us, please, to put down those sins that we love and to pick up instead those things that you call us to do that are good and positive. Father, please, would we be those who keep turning from sins and keep turning to Jesus. And we ask it in his name. Amen.